Hello.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, this is Lawrence. Who's this?
Press 1 in this. Hello.
For charities to divide us.
Hello? Is this the radio broadcast for better investment?
Hello?
Hey, hello, how are you?
I'm well.
Okay, and this is Malachi?
No, this is Mr. Stefan Mason.
Oh, hey, Stefan. Sharon said you might not be on today.
Well, I'm on.
Okay. All right, Stefan, I'm Lark.
Okay, nice to meet you.
So now how does this work, Stefan? Because this is my first time. Are there other people on and listening, or is it just the two of us?
Well, it's just the two of us right now, but how it goes is that other people go on, and the host of the show introduces you, and she asks a series of questions pertaining to whatever the scenario is. And whoever wants to like ask a question, they'll press one, and then they'll be able to communicate with you.
Okay.
And for the past 15 minutes, I've been trying to get on, and it's been kicking me off, so I guess I'm the first one on for right now.
Okay, very well. So, Stefan, because, you know, I met Sharon at a Better Investing conference. Explain to me who the international masterminders are.
Hello?
Hello? Did I lose you?
Well, the international masterminders is the and we all the best.
Yeah, practice, goal setting.
Okay. We go over setting goals and how to set goals, how to achieve, how to act, every goal that we also have goals and money, we manage that's our.
Okay. I had you very clear, and now it's, you're going in and out every other word. So is there background noise there?
I'm quiet. I hear noises in my background.
Yeah, I'm getting the noises too, and there's no noise. I made sure I was in a quiet place, so there's no TV or nothing on here.
Yeah, I'm in my room right now. So.
Right. Our international mastermind, so are you a better investing group, or that's just one small part of what you do? Or you're just kind of curious about this?
Well, I'm in a subgroup,
mm-hmm.
and it's called Successful Thinkers.
Okay.
And it's a... I'm the president of that group, and it's like a subgroup out of the masterminders and international masterminders. Just that, you know, teens and kids, we come together and we, you know, we go over not only situations and problems that teens and children go through every day, but also, you know, we go over managing money skills and goal setting skills as well. We have conference calls every Sunday, and we have a blog talk call once a month. We also meet once a month, and where we brainstorm and talk about what are we going to do, and what are we going to do pertaining to our group, and what's the next event that's coming up. So we're pretty active.
Okay, so if I'm getting this, you have conference calls every Sunday. You blog talk once a month, or how often do you blog talk?
Well, we blog talk once a month, and we also meet once a month.
And where do you normally meet?
Well, we meet at Miss Ann McNeil's daughter's house.
Okay.
So.
All right. So how long has International Mastermind has been around first, and then how long has your group Successful Thinkers been around?
Mastermind group, how long Mastermind has been around for?
Right.
I really can't say, but.
Okay.
I don't really know, but my group, Successful Thinkers, we've been around for about a year, going on 2 years. About 2 years.
Okay. All right. Well, so this conversation isn't one-sided. Sharon met me at a Better Investing conference, so investing is what I do. Is there anything you would like to ask me?
Okay, I mean, I'm 17, about to be 18 in a few months.
Okay.
I mean, what do you suggest, like, what do you think I should invest my funds into? Because, you know, I'm not settled right now. I mean, I'm unemployed. I don't have a job at the moment. and like I get money every so now and then. So what do you suggest, like, is, like, the best thing for me to do with my money? Like, what should I invest it into? Because, I mean, I have an idea, but I don't think it'll benefit, you know, I don't think it'll benefit me as much as it should.
Well, first of all, let me hear the idea, because maybe you got the right idea, and you don't need my money. What's the idea?
I mean, right now, I'm a sneakerhead, so, like, I buy a lot of sneakers, like, well, mm-hmm. like Jordan, Nikes, per se. So I was, like, my investment, like, I mean, well, my plan or my idea was, like, to buy a pair of Jordans, not wear them, and then sell them at a venue or, like, an expo for a higher price.
Now, after you've worn them, you want to go back and sell them at a venue for a higher price?
No. Not to wear them at all.
Okay. So you want to distribute Jordans?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, and how would you do that?
Hold on, one moment. Hold on.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Hello. Yeah, hi. I'm Adrina Freedom from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And I was
I'm sorry. I didn't catch the name. Give me the name again, please.
Edwina Enum from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Okay, hello, Edwina. I'm Lauric, L-A-U-R-I-C-K.
Okay. Now I'm in an investment fund here. It's called FIC.
Uh-huh. And what does FRC stand for?
Hello?
Yeah, hey, Stefan. Edwina was talking there for a minute. I'm not sure how you can get in and out. Edwina, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still there.
Okay, go ahead, Edwina. You had Stefan was asking me a question in terms of what he thought he should invest in. And he said he's 17 right now, and he had an idea to distribute Jordans, to buy Jordans and then resell them for a profit.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes sense. So let me answer that, Stefan. Right now, broadly speaking, there's two business models
mm-hmm.
for making money. One
mm-hmm.
of them is passive income, and one of them is active income.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you're talking about distributing, that's active. Active
mm-hmm.
income requires you to be with the chief cook and bottle washer. And that what that means is if you're going to do active income, you have to kind of do everything. You have to do
yeah.
your books. You have to hold your inventory. You have to count your inventory. You have to sell. You have to market. You have to do all of that. Passive income, which is one type of investing in stocks and things like that, what that does is it allows you to own either a small piece of a company that's already making money or already being operated, not necessarily making money because some of them lose, but to allow you a small piece without you having to invest your time in the actual management or physically being there. So for right now, Stefan, if you're in school, what I would actually recommend more than the – and I like the sneaker idea, so I'm not pushing you off of that, but for right now, depending on how much money you have, $50, $100, $10,000, whatever you have, I would recommend you open something called a Share Builder, SHAREBUILDER, a Share Builder account. And I'll tell you off the top, I don't own any part of Share Builder, so nothing I recommend am I making a profit off of. So I have no vested interest in Share Builder. But that's what I would recommend you do. You can open it up for really as little as $50. And that's a simple one step thing to do that when you go to your next or you have your next blog talk, you can say I did or I did not do that thing. And that'll move you forward. That'll be your first step towards investing. So now Edwina, you had something.
Yeah, we're Futuristic Investment Club.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we look at various stocks. And our portfolio is growing slowly but surely. It consists of nine women. And some of the stocks we've invested in, like we've gotten into Ford. And Ford is growing right now. Ford Auto.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. So
okay.
I don't know.
So now, and when if
I'm doing analysis
if you're,
of it.
Uh-huh. My analysis of Ford?
Uh-huh.
I don't know. Well, I don't hold. That's not one of the stocks I hold, but I can give you a quick idea. I think it was a solid company. If you're already doing investing, you know one of the critical things that the better investing model looks for is that the gain is three times the loss. You know that okay. that you stand to gain three times what you stand to lose. So. I'm pulling it up now to see what Ford is trading at. What price did you guys buy it at?
We bought it initially in we paid $12.21 for it.
Well, I think you got it at a good price, but hold on. So was that before or after the the government did the incentive thing. Okay.
And the price of it as of January 27th is $12.21.
Okay. And but what year did you buy it at? What year? You said you bought it in 2010 or no?
I
have that information with me. I think we just buy it in
2010. Okay. Mm-hmm.
What's the ticker for Ford? F, right?
I beg your pardon?
What's the ticker for Ford? Just F, right?
Yes.
Okay. And if you held it since 2010, so you've had four quarters. Do you know what the dividends were or what dividends it's been paying up until now?
No, I don't have that data on hand right now.
No problem. No problem. How long has your club been around?
We've been around since 1990.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
I just now.
Mm-hmm. Are you a member of Better Investing?
Okay. Yeah. We get the magazine.
Okay. The right now I'm looking at Ford on my toolkit program.
Yes.
And at that price, the price of $12, it shows a buy, but. What's happening or what it's showing is that the sales look flat. The sales increase looks flat, but the earnings per share seems to be going up.
Okay.
Now, what I like about it, I don't know necessarily that it fits. Are you still with us, Stefan? No? Yes? Okay. What I would like about Ford right now, if I were to buy it, now I don't know that I would, but if I were to buy it, what I like about it, The trailing 12-month earnings per share right now is $4.93,
mm-hmm.
and it's selling for $12.72, which means that basically it's almost paying 33% rate of return on investment, which I think is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's awesome. I see that the 52-week low price was $9.05. You're buying it. And the high price was $16.18, so you kind of bought it in the middle there. But at this current price, you're in a pretty good position. And Ford, I haven't pulled up my value line page. Ford should have pretty good earning strength. Hold up, I'll tell you what the R squared is on it right now. Actually, it does. The earning predictability is not high. But Ford's been around a long time. I believe if they've been paying, let me go back to my analyst page. I think they're a solid bet to continue paying dividends. Actually, they So the trailing 12-month is $4.93, but it's actually posted losses in quarter 6-11 and quarter 9-11, but then it gained again considerably in last year. So it closed out last year strong. Again, better investing looks for growth companies. I don't know that Ford is going to be really a growth company in the sense that it's not it's a pretty built out company. But at the current price, I think it's a good play to round off a portfolio. But I don't know in terms of it growing. I don't know where that it has any more space to grow, unless they take up something else, like they pick up Fiat or another car dealership completely, where they can expand into that market, or they expand to some other aspect of dealerships. So your question was, do I think it's a good buy? I think a 33% rate of return makes it a good cash generator for your portfolio. I don't know how much growth you're going to actually see, but 33%, I mean, that's great, as long as they can sustain those earnings.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Ingram, this is Sharon Jackson. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you, Sean. How are you?
Very good. You know, what I'm interested to find out is that how long have you been a part of Better Investing, and what have you found has enriched your financial literacy?
In terms of what has enriched my financial literacy, there's a lady named Ann McNeil, and she brought Better Investing to our church many years ago. I joined Better Invest. Well, I tried to join it. That was over 10 years ago. I tried to join it. But back then, computers were not that big a deal. Computers weren't being used like they're used now. And consequently, the bookkeeping was horrid. I mean, you had to keep so many numbers. You had to, write down in spreadsheets and stuff, and I really had trouble keeping up with it. So I didn't do anything with actual stock investing. I studied mutual funds because they had their own stuff. So then about 5 years ago, well, actually 7 years now, I said I was going to try it again and really get back into it. So 5 years ago I started. Hold on one second. What I did was I went on Morningstar. On Morningstar, and I was able to create. I went on Morningstar, and I was able to create a portfolio without using any real money. And so I took that portfolio. I started running that, and then 2 years ago, I started putting real money into it. And that's what. So that to answer your question, that's that. Now, go ahead.
So what happened when you started doing that?
On my first portfolio, my smaller one with E-Trade, I followed the Better Investing model. I used a lot of their stuff, and I did okay, but I probably at the end of the day. Hello? Do I still have you? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah. Hello? Is this still Sean, or did somebody else dial in?
Well, I'm here, but I believe you have another caller.
No, I'm good, Sean. So back to your question. Let me, because I don't want to use up too much time. Here's the long and the short of it. On my big money, my real money portfolio, my big one, last year the S&P ended up about the same. I made 7%. On my smaller money portfolio, my Schwab account, I'm up to, as of yesterday, I'm up to like 20%. Since last year. And on my E-Trade account, I lost money. I lost 10%. But I did that not deliberately, but what happened was in my E-Trade account, I was willing to take some risk because it was some things I wanted to understand, and I simply couldn't understand them by reading them. I just had to do them. So.
Can you talk
Does that
to
answer
the,
your question?
Yes. But there are a number of people. I'm not Whomever is online, could you please go on mute so that we don't get so much feedback? But there are a number that are, I think what's happening is that people are trying to raise their hand so that they can talk. I think that's part of what's happening. But but what I'd like for you to try to talk with you about is how you look at stock. How, like, Stefan indicated that he's interested in tennis shoes because he sees the number of youth his age that wear different types of soft bottom shoes. So the question is, when you look at all the stock, how do you make a determination as to how you look at stock and how you make it this decision? Because when the youth get online, there's so many things to pull from. Question is, how do you go in and how do you create those stocks that you're going to be monitoring and then make a decision as to which ones you're actually going to put money in?
The honest answer, and I came to this by trial and error. That's why I was saying with my E-Trade account, I wasn't really upset that I ended up losing money because I wanted to see how some things work. Right now, the most somebody's going to need to mute their phone. Okay. Right now, the of all the people, of the information sources I've studied, Investor Advisory Service, you have to pay for, to me, has a good monthly newsletter, and it narrows the stock universe down a lot because there are only about, I think, 40 stocks in that newsletter. And from there, you can pick it. You know, the good part about it is that those guys have already, they understand better investing, and they've already picked stocks that fit that goal. So I do that. I get the Investor Advisory newsletter. Before I buy the stock, I watch the stock, and honestly, I look for the stock to go down in price before I buy it, which is a kind of the opposite of what people do. Is they buy it, and they say, ooh, it's going up, it's going up, it's going up. I like to put the stock on a watch list, watch it, wait for it to pull back 10. Sometimes I get lucky as much as 20% before I buy it, and then I buy it.
Okay, but tell us about the analysis. You still have to look at the fundamentals. Can you talk to the kids about the fundamentals that you look at? Because I heard you start talking to Edwina, Ms. Beanham out of Wisconsin, about some of the things, the fundamentals that you look at, and that's very important. Because there are technical things. And this is one of the things that I wanted you to talk to us about, the mentality of making money.
Right. Well, what Sharon and I talked, one of the things I said about investing, because what she just said is true, there's a technical part of investing. But what you have to me, to be successful, you have to know what your attitude is as it relates to money. And I know that sounds simplistic, but that's the reality. I was away with some friends a few years ago, and I'm being serious. It was me, my wife, and two other couples, and we were at a retreat. And one of the couples, one of the guys from the other couple, was praying, and that guy prayed, and he said in his prayer, he said, "Lord, I just want to be comfortable. You know, I just want to be able to take care of my family, and you know, and I just want to be comfortable sending my son to school." And I said, and I was being dead serious, "Lord, that's him, not me. I want to be wealthy. I want to be over and abundantly wealthy. So
yeah,
that's my vision.
Yeah,
I respect
true.
His. There's nothing wrong with his, and God bless him." And that was about 5 years ago, and 5 years from now, I have hit the mark. So you'll go for, or you'll be drawn towards what you think about. So if that's what you think about, then that's what will lead you towards. So that's the attitude. When I say, what is your attitude towards making money? If your attitude is, and I've talked with people who say, "Oh no, no, I don't want that much." Okay, well, you have to decide what you want. I can't decide that for you. You know, so I knew my goal was, and I had a very specific goal to be a millionaire. I was dead set on that. I'm serious. It was clear that I wanted to be a millionaire, and then not just a millionaire. I wanted to be able to be a millionaire who could make money work. So that's the fundamental attitude that to me is the cornerstone of investing. If you're not interested in getting your money to work, then this isn't the route for you.
Absolutely. So very, very,
Grant, I'll be quiet. Other people can talk. I'm good.
No. I just wanted to tell you how important that was for people to hear. And that is the whole part about the mind of making money. But there's also the technical part. So could you go through with the kids? We have callers that are adults and youth online, okay? And so what I would appreciate is if you would go through, because you started that with Miss Edwina out of Milwaukee about the technology, the technical part. Could you go through the technical part?
Okay. So the technical part is if you're looking for stocks, the first basic technical part, and I like what Stefan said about the Jordans, sales rules the day. If a company isn't selling, it's only a matter of time before it's going to go. You just can't survive. You can't thrive in this world without sales. So the very first thing, the key thing, is sales. Are they increasing or at minimum sustaining? If they're decreasing, I really don't care how good the stock price is, you're going to want to stay away from them because you can't pay earnings if you're not making sales.
Yeah.
So that's the first key metric in any investment is, are the sales increasing? If the sales aren't increasing, you can cut a bunch of companies right out of the box right there. So that's one technical point. The next technical point is now that it's increasing, is the pre-tax profit increasing? And what does that mean? MC Hammer is the best model of that. MC Hammer made $14 million and spent $16 million. That boat's going to sink. That boat is going to sink. So even if a company is generating sales but not making a profit, it again, push that company to the wayside. And the last critical thing is earnings per share, because that's the money that gets paid to you, the stockholder. So if a company is sales are increasing, it has pre-tax profit, but it's not paying any of that out to the shareholders, again, that's not something that you want to be interested in. Now, there are certain growth companies that don't pay earnings per share right away because they're plowing them back into the company to do other things with it. So that's a different situation. That's a different metric. If they're making sales but they're paying off debt, or if they're making sales, but like Buffalo Wild Wings is one of the companies I like because I like Buffalo Wild Wings food too. But they're both paying an earnings per share and plowing money back into that company because they wanted to open up 100 stores in 2011. They ended up opening up 65 stores. But if you look at Buffalo Wild Wings, the sales are still increasing. And so that's the key metric. Is it selling? And if it ain't selling, don't waste your time.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay.
So tell us about the different sectors.
There are 10 broad sectors. Let me tell you what a sector is and why it's valuable. What a sector is this. I'll go back to the sneakers. The sneakers fall under consumer discretionary. A sector is simply the broad industry in which a company works. So sneakers would be under consumer discretionary. Restaurants would be under consumer discretionary. Certain things, they're consumer defensive, which is certain staples like wash detergent, because no matter what happens, you got to wash your clothes. So you have a consumer defensive, which is it's under the consumer sector, but it's defensive versus discretionary. Then you'll have technical. For example, Google or Apple will fall under technical. There are basically, you know, 8 sectors depending on who you talk with. And what you want to do is you want to have your money invested across those different sectors because sectors behave differently. Tech sector behaves differently from a consumer defensive sector. A consumer defensive sector behaves differently from a building or an industrial sector that does, you know, building houses or heavy equipment. Caterpillar falls under industrials. Health and science, telecommunications. So Verizon behaves differently than Caterpillar. And the reason you want to be in these different sectors is because the whole of the market moves in different directions at different times. Right now, construction, things that people who supply goods to constructions are slowing down because the housing market slowed down. As the housing market picks up, that sector will pick up. Energy is a big sector, obviously. Gas, you know, with gas prices or electricity. But those are different sectors, and you want to be as much as possible spread across those sectors when you invest.
Okay, excellent. Excellent. I appreciate that a lot. What else do you think that we need to know? What else do you think that are you? And the reason why I'm saying this is because because you have so many people that are looking at the stock market as part of their financial literacy. And it's one of the things that we are becoming to understand is that we cannot rely on Social Security. We can't rely just on our savings. We must have diversity, just like you said, diversity. So tell us how you have used that as part of your diversity of securing your financial future. Do you understand
now,
my question?
All right, so here's diversity. Now, I answered one question. There's diversity within the stock market. But within your own personal finances, there should be diversity even more. So what do I mean by that? Within the stock market, there are different sectors, and you want to be diverse over those sectors. But the other thing is you don't ever want all your money in stocks. So my and this isn't – I'm not a securities dealer, so this isn't a recommendation that you do anything. My personal comfort level is I have one-third of my money in bonds, which behaves differently from stocks, but that goes a little further than this time would allow. One-third in stocks and a third available for real estate or cash. And the reason for that, especially for the cash, is no matter how much you know, no matter how much you study, I don't care if you're Warren Buffett, there's always what they call the black swan, because swans are normally white, but once in a while one of them will be born black unexpectedly. So there's always something that could happen to set the market on its ear temporarily. And you want to be have enough cash that doesn't affect your day-to-day. So that's that way. The stock market is an excellent place to grow a part of your wealth. It's a great place to grow a part of your wealth, but never all of your wealth. Never all of your wealth. It's one part, and then back to what Stefan said, owning your own business is a direct way to grow wealth. And so I'm all for that. I really think if at all possible, you should have both. And investing, which I'm getting ready to start a business, so you should have an investing component, which is passive income, does not require you to be there for it to make money. Bonds, so that if stocks decide to go sideways, your bonds will soften the times that the market are down, and then either real estate or some other direct investing business. If you like cosmetics, if you like clothes, if you like car, whatever you happen to like.
Okay. So that's interesting. I guess that's one of the reasons why it says that the best investment groups are those that are made up of men and women because of the diversity of the mindset.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And to me, if possible, men, women, and different age groups. Because, we got Stefan on here. I don't know if Monet is on, but I am not that skilled on Facebook. So the younger generation, you guys have some skill sets and you utilize and things like that I don't. You know, I had to be taught how to use YouTube. So there are a lot of things in your industry or in your era that if we're going to be successful, we need to be aware of. And to me, that's what the young people bring to the table, because you are on the cutting edge of things changing. I've never played a Wii game in my life. But my sons go online and play with kids over in Russia. So they helped me. So that's why when I wanted to look at buying GameStop, which I didn't buy, but I went to my sons, because I really don't know the first thing about GameStop.
I believe that our host, Monet Turner, her mic is open. Monet?
Let me think about giant oil.
Renee Turner, are you on? Okay. Well, I opened up her mic, and unfortunately, I don't hear her.
I did want to say to her, because she seems to be Edwina from Milwaukee. She seems to be more investing. Edwina, I have a lot of, I put, in my case, my research, I put a lot of faith in Value Line. And I pay for the subscription. But down here, if you remember the public library system, you can actually go in with your library card. A lot of times they have it on Value Line. But I rely heavily on the quarterly Value Line reports before I decide which stock to buy. I was trying to bring up four, but the Value Line server is down. So I couldn't, if I could have, I was going to get you a Value Line report and email it to you. But I couldn't pull it up because the server's down right now.
Her mic is open. I'm not sure why she's not responding.
Okay, no worries.
I'm still on.
Okay. Now, so I was just saying, because you were asking, so you seem to be a bit far along with investing, and I was just telling you that I rely heavily on Value Line, and I couldn't bring up Value Line, their service offline. I was able to bring up S&P on Ford, and I guess in 2006, it actually lost money not in terms of earnings per share. It had a negative earnings per share for 2006, 2007, 2008. And in 2009, it made 86 cents per share for the year. 2010, $1.66. And now in 2011, it's at $1.87. I think Ford might be a good fit for your personal portfolio because of the return now, if it's going to be paying $4 a share. But in terms of better investing, it actually doesn't meet the standard. It doesn't meet the standard because one of the things you look for is increased earnings per share over the last 5 years. It hasn't. You know, it doesn't have increased pre-tax profit over the last 5 years, and it definitely doesn't have increased sales over the last 5 years consistently. So it would not be meet the better investing metric. For yourself personally, give it a shot, but not for better not for a better investing portfolio.
I have a caller on with the last four numbers of 2797. Your mic is open.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. This is Annette Ireland from Virginia. I have been looking at Zion Oil. Have you seen? Have you checked them out?
What's the ticker, Annette?
The ticker symbol, I think it's ZN. They're out of Texas.
Small cap or large cap, you don't know?
I'm not sure.
Okay. I'm looking at it right now, and Zion, a couple of things is the price I'm seeing, the current price I'm seeing is like $2. So usually that would fall under as a penny stock, and better investing. So remember too, because my group Polaris, we have two levels of conversation going. We have the Polaris better investing conversation of listen, this is what we have in our portfolio, this is what we're going to keep, and this is we're going to go with the better investing model, and then we have what we do individually. So sometimes we'll make a decision, say we're going to make a play on this one for ourselves, but it doesn't fit better investing because your personal goals may not be what better investing is. Penny stocks I don't deal with. Now, I just pulled up Zion Oil. For better investing, absolutely not.
Okay.
Absolutely not. It has no earnings track record. It has no increase in sale. It doesn't have enough information to evaluate what it's going to do. Now, if you want to do it as a speculative play because it is a penny stock, I don't get into that, but if you're going to do it, what I recommend is you never go more than, especially on something like this, that you never invest more than 1.5% to 2.5% of your portfolio. Because this thing will make you, it can make you rich, but this thing can tank you.
Right.
So.
Right. What about Berkshire B?
What's the ticker for Berkshire?
It's a Warren Buffett stock. It's BRK. As BRK hyphen B, yes.
Okay, I got it. Berkshire B. Now, two things you have to ask is, is it a good? So the first question when I said about sales is it a good company? Are the sales up? Pre-tax profit up? Are the earnings per share up? And then the next question you have to ask is it a good buy for me at this moment?
Right.
Okay, so it may meet those three, but it still may not be a good buy at the moment. Right now, with just what I'm looking at preliminarily, it is not a good buy at the moment under the better investing methodology. Well, why is it not a good buy? I'm looking at the front. On the front, the sales increase over the last 5 years, historical sales increase has been 5.5%. Obviously, we're looking at 15%. Now, it's stable. So, I mean, it's a strong company. And the historical earnings per share has been 5.6%. Again, if you're looking for growth, 5.5 and 5.6 are not going to really get you growth. If you're older and you're retired and you're happy just making 5.6% return, that's a different goal. But inside of better investing right now, on just what I see, and bearing in mind I can't get to my value line pages, what I see, it would not be something we would consider. Also, it went down in 2008. It went down again, which that's understandable. So 2007 to 2009 is understandable, but it also is back down in 2011 for the year. It's earning.
Excuse me. We have a minute and 8 seconds, and we have another caller that would like to talk. Caller, last 4 digits of 7607. Your mic is open.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes. Hello.
Yes.
7607. Go ahead.
Okay. Hi. My name is Melanie Turner, and question is: should new investors start with like individual stocks or mutual funds?
Honestly, I got a quick answer to that. I don't care, but what I do care is that you start. There's a book called The Richest Man in Babylon. If you read it, one of the biggest barriers to investing is procrastination. So whatever you do, start. I really don't care. There's no magic formula. But one thing is, if you never start, you'll never learn. So I like mutual funds as a good starting point, but when I started my sons, the first stock I ever bought from was Guess, the clothing.
Okay.
So
we have 5 minutes. I just want to let you know, thank you very much, and this is
okay,
it's over. We had callers coming on the line. We had callers coming on the line, people raising their hands. And I really hope that we can reschedule you because we just got off late. We got 10 callers listening. We had people raising their hands wanting to talk. But because I just got into the back room. I literally just got into the back room about 15 minutes ago.
Right.
I think I need to end this because I think we're still on the air.
End it, and then I need to call you and tell you something. So let's end it, and I'm going to call you on your line.
Thank you.
Okay.